Love that version. I love that version. Of course, that was Bryan Adams' cover of I Fought the Law, which came off of his Live, Live, Live album from 1988. Of course, that was originally done by Sonny Curtis and was made famous about a decade later by the Bobby Fuller Four, which is the version that most people associate that song with. But anyways, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. I thank you for tuning into this podcast each and every week. Throughout the season, I'll be progressing my way through the alphabet from A to Z, where I'll be featuring bands or musicians going in alphabetical order, no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I am truly having the time of my life doing this. Before I begin, I will say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this podcast. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast. And I can't emphasize this enough. Please go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support. My only goal is that I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. And I'm going to consider this to be the official relaunch of the show because we are finally getting into the alphabet. We are done with my top 20 of 2020. I know that was kind of looking back at last year, and now we are finally looking forward, I guess. I mean, we're always looking back at older music, and that's what I do. I curate, you know, great rock and roll from years past. And this is going to be no different because today, of course, as you already know, we are going to be highlighting the amazing career of Bryan Adams, one of my all-time favorite musicians. And because his career extends about over 40 years now, I'm not going to tackle his entire career on this episode. We are going to be focusing basically on the first half, everything up until the mid-latish 90s, up through his 18 Till I Die album, because he's put out way too much material for me to put onto one episode. This leaves the opportunity for me to return to his career to maybe do part two someday. And that would be interesting because it's the second part of his career, which a lot of his music has been ignored. So maybe we'll get to that sometime. That would be a very fascinating episode to curate 10 songs from basically after his career peaked. So we're going to actually be focusing on the period of his career that is the most popular, everything from the beginning through the mid-90s. And this should be a lot of fun. I'm going to do what I can to kind of avoid the big hits, the singles, because, you know, he had so many huge songs in the 80s and 90s. And some of those albums, you know, put out 10 songs and like six or seven of them became big hits and singles. It's I was going through these albums over and over the past month, like finding great songs, which is not hard to do. Even the album cuts are amazing on these records. So it wasn't really that hard, and it was a lot of fun to do this. But I realized that there's so much music that I really love of his, that did not become big hits. And but even those that weren't became like concert favorites as well. So it's like I really want to promote the music that I love that, you know, may have fallen under the radar. A bit of a challenge, actually. But I think you're going to like the music that I've selected for this episode. And what I like to do also is just tell a little bit about how I got into Bryan Adams. Of course, I've explained this on the show many times. You know, I grew up as an 80s kid and, you know, MTV generation. I, of course, was exposed to all of the music videos and the pop music and rock music that was on the radio and on MTV at the time. So it was probably around 1983, 84, where the music videos for Run to You and Summer 69 were in heavy circulation. So, you know, this stuff was just crammed down my throat at that age. I ate it right up. And of course, Bryan Adams, he had the good looks. He had that roguish quality to him. He's somebody that, you know, I wanted to be. I wanted to be that guy with the good looks and the blonde hair, rocking out at a stadium. I mean, what kid did not want to be that guy? And of course, it was just him. He wasn't like fronting like a band that he was promoting. It was just like Bryan Adams, rock star. You know, so I definitely idolized him and looked up to him when I was a kid. I wanted to be him, of course. I can't deny that. So one thing I have to apologize for before we get into this is that, you know, the guy next door is mowing his lawn. This doesn't happen very often in the middle of the day. This is the curse of living in suburbia. I got neighbors, and he's decided, I don't know whether he's got his weed whacker or his lawnmower or leaf blower. He's decided now is the time to do that. This is when I have to do the podcast. So I apologize if the sound quality might be kind of off. He's coming and going, but what can I do? All right, so let's get to the first song, and which came off his self-titled album, which was released on February 12th, 1980. I mean, he just came out of the 70s, and his career actually goes back to like the mid-70s, and it's crazy thinking that he is like a 45-year career, because he was really hustling in the 70s as well, trying to get his career going. He's been in the industry for ages. It's crazy thinking about that. He put in, I think, about 6 years before he actually got this deal. So, you know, it took him a while still. His self-titled debut is really kind of a hodgepodge collection of songs that samples a variety of genres, really. I mean, it's got blue-eyed soul in it, disco, and, of course, the seeds of his hit-making straight-ahead rock and roll. There's a good amount on this album that I'm really not crazy about. The first couple of tracks are okay. In fact, the first half actually really isn't that terrible. It's songs like Hiding From Love, You Win Some, You Lose Some, Wait and See, and Wasting Time are pretty good, but there's still nothing that I think is really overly special. The formula he will perfect later on, but you can detect the groundwork of that on this album, but it's just not quite there yet. But the song that I think is absolutely a standout track on here, and he does play it in concert actually once in a while, it was released as a single, but it did not chart and went nowhere, is the song Remember, which I believe is a great song. I mean, it could have landed on any one of his follow-up albums, and it would have been nestled in perfectly. It was, I think, the second or third single, as I said. It was written by Bryan Adams and Jim Vallance, who was his writing partner on pretty much all of it, not all of his albums, but most of them. This song has a scorching chorus. In fact, it's one of my all-time favorite choruses of his. So let's get to that. Oh, so here's the other thing. So if you've listened to the show in the past, especially when I do these shows about the bands, I always will quote my favorite part of the lyrics from each song. So I haven't done one of these in a while because I've done maybe 4 episodes in a row where it's been like a top 10 list or top 20 list of things. So it's been a while. But let me get to that chorus that I love. Here it is. Remember the time we spent together. Remember the days that went forever. Remember the nights we stayed together. Whatever I do, I'll still remember. All right. Love that song. It just gets to me so much. And I think what stands out to me is just the percussion on that track. I don't know for sure who does the drums on that. I mean, I've read that it might be Mickey Curry. There's no official credits for the album that I can find anywhere. I had to actually refer to Wikipedia, which I'm sometimes nervous about doing. Well, let's move on to the next song. We're going to go into the next album as well, which came out the next year, the album was titled You Want It, You Got It, which came out on July 21st of 1981. It was produced by Brian Adams and Bob Clearmountain. This was the first collaboration of these two guys. Again, came out on A&M Records, as did his first album as well. I think Adams stuck with A&M for quite some time. This is a more rock-centric album than his first. The quality in the sound mix and the recording is leaps and bounds above the debut, and I have to attribute a lot of that to Bob Clearmountain. At the time, Bob was not the legend in the industry that he would become, but he knew exactly what to do with Brian Adams, and he would eventually get the most out of him. The opening track kicks off the album in style. It's called Lonely Night. It's got the jangly guitars that we'd become very familiar with right up front and center. The song was written by, of course, Brian Adams and Jim Vallance. It was the third single released, and it reached number 84 in the U.S. It probably reached much higher in Canada. I think pretty much everything that Brian Adams did ranked much higher in Canada and also in the U.K. than the United States. So as popular as he was in the U.S., he was just gigantic in Canada. Of note, there are several covers of this song that that are out there. Uriah Heep put this song out on their 1983 release titled Head First, and it has a more melodic metal thing going for it. It's not that bad, but I'll tell you what, I like this version a lot more. So I'm going to go with the first verse from this song called Lonely Nights, and here we go. Will you risk your reputation? I don't know. You just don't know what you're saying anymore. You know, beggars can't be choosers, and that's fair. When we win, we may be losers. I don't care.
Oh,
That was the great Lonely Nights from You Want It, You Got It. All right, we're going to move on to another song from that album, which is actually my favorite song from You Want It, You Got It. And this one is titled One Good Reason. I was reading an interview with Jim Vallance, and he mentions during the recording sessions that Bob Clear Mountain decided to record Brian in a stairwell. And there is this dumpster back there. And for some reason, during Brian's vocals for the song, he slammed the dumpster lid. And you can hear it at the 1 minute and 52 mark part of this 1 minute and 52 mark in the song. So I thought that was kind of a cool story and pretty fascinating. Of course, the song was written by Adams and Jim Vallance. And another standout thing on this song, I think, is the keyboard work from Tommy Mandel, I think, is the guy that did that. And which is just great. I love the post-chorus vocal harmony the band is doing on this. So let's go with the chorus for this song. And here we go. Think that you should know by now. You've done the damage now. It can't be changed. So give me one good reason. One good reason to stay.
Trying to get to you. Yeah. Getting pretty worried now that Ronnie's in the office. I shouldn't let it get to me. There's nothing I can do. Think that you should know by now. We've done the damage now. It can't be changed. So give me one good reason. One good reason to stay. Want to wake you, cause this trouble look I got might make you change your mind. There's no need for conversation, there's no reason to forsake you. I was looking for the answers, but there's nothing here to find. Think that you should know by now. You've done the damage, now it can't be changed. Thank you.
All right, that was One Good Reason. And man, what an amazing song. I just love the wavelength of that song. And it feels like something that they could have just jammed out to for like 10, 12 minutes, the way that the way that song is played. It just has that really fun, loose jam to it, that vibe to it. I could imagine that played in concert, that could just like go on and on and on, and I would not complain at all. I love that song. So anyways, let's move on to the next song, and we're going to move on to really his breakout album titled Cuts Like a Knife, which came out on January 18th, 1983, also produced by Adams and Bob Clearmountain. Now, this catapulted all the way to platinum status in the U.S. and actually went 3 times platinum in Canada. This album, of course, had a lot of his big, big hits, songs like This Time, Straight from the Heart, and, of course, Cuts Like a Knife. This is just a perfectly produced album. Even the deep cuts are stellar. And the song I'm picking from this is I'm Ready. It's one of my favorite album cuts from his early catalog. Easily could have been a single on here. It's a great song that makes you just want to get up and jump around and dance. It's vintage Bryan Adams. The song also made a big comeback in the 90s when it reappeared on his 1996 MTV Unplugged album, where it was actually re-released as a single from that album. Personally, I prefer this original version. I like anything that rocks out. So let's go with the first verse from this song. I'd like to see you. Thought I'd let you know. I want to be with you every day, hey. 'Cause I've got a feeling that's beginning to grow. And there's only one thing I can say, yeah.
I'd like to see you, thought I'd let you know. I wanna be with you every day. I
There you had I'm Ready from the Cuts Like a Knife album. What a great song, and what a nice, tight little guitar solo in that song. Love it, love it, love it. Let's move on. But we're not going to move on too far because we got another song from this album. This one is titled Don't Leave Me Lonely. And it's another just killer straight-ahead rocker. I love the passion and the heart that Adam sings with this at this stage of his career. He would never really recapture this, I don't think. It's about the rawest he would ever sound. This song has an interesting history, actually. Bryan Adams was working with Kiss, and specifically very closely with drummer Eric Carr, during the Creatures of the Night era. This song was supposedly being groomed to be on that album, but ultimately never made it onto the record. Adams completed it on his own, but Eric Carr is given credit for writing the music and the lyrics for the chorus, and Adams and Valance got co-writing credits. So let's actually go with the chorus since we brought that up. So don't leave me lonely, just want to be right by your side, your one and only tonight. Don't Leave Me Lonely. Great song from Cuts Like a Knife. All right, before I move on, I just want to take a brief moment since we're around the halfway point in the show. And thank you again for tuning in to this week's show and say how much I honestly appreciate each and every one of you for being a loyal listener and subscriber to my podcast. Also, if you've been listening to these episodes, I would love to hear from you. I would love to get some feedback. There is an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me on social media on Facebook at abcofrockpodcast and on Twitter at abcrockpodcast. The show is available on dozens of podcast apps. So please, if you love the show, subscribe, give it a rating and review on whatever app you prefer. Those ratings and reviews actually play a large role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. All right, we are going to move on to the next album. And if you thought Cuts Like a Knife was a big album, this next one was gigantic. But it wasn't even his biggest album, and that's coming up soon. This album was titled Reckless, came out on November 5th of 1984, once again produced by Adams and Bob Clearmountain. Came out on A&M Records. This one went 5 times platinum in the U.S., and Canada went diamond, which only amounted to, I don't know, like 1/5 of the album sales in the United States, because their population is so much smaller, but still a lot. This is one of the biggest albums ever in Canadian history. So the song I'm picking from this is I Ain't Gonna Cry. It was written by Adams and Valance. This, again, was probably his real breakout album. Cuts Like a Knife was big, but this one really put him on the map. 6 singles were released from this, and all 6 landed in the top 20, including Heaven at number 1, and that doesn't include the concert favorites like Kids Wanna Rock and One Night Love Affair. Basically, this entire album is a hit parade. Of course, this album went to number 1 in the U.S. and Canada. The song I'm playing is I Ain't Gonna Cry, and Brian has coined this song as the forgotten song on the Reckless album, but I could never forget it because it's truly one of my all-time favorites of his. So let's get to the chorus. I ain't gonna cry over you. You're a mystery. I ain't gonna cry over you. You're history. History.
Yeah. two, a one, two, three.
Was Ain't Gonna Cry from the Reckless album. And what about that bass line from Dave Taylor? That is just the MVP of that song, I think. And I just love that song ends too. And that actually ends the album as well, where it just like completely just falls apart at the end. I think that's just wonderful and so ballsy. It's great. So I'm going to pick another song from Reckless, and I guess you're kind of scratching your head, like, what can I possibly pick from this that wasn't a hit or a concert favorite? Well, guess what? I'm not. I'm actually going to dig really deep, and I'm going to grab something from the Reckless 30th anniversary edition of this album. And I actually got this a while ago. It's a fantastic package that they put together. Now there are a couple versions of this. I think there's a deluxe edition as well, but this is a 2-disc set, and disc one has the original 10 tracks plus 7 bonus tracks, which were, I believe, demos from the recording sessions. And disc two is a BBC concert from, 1985. The demos though are stellar. A couple of hard rock, heavy metal songs, actually. You heard me right. Heavy metal really is in that genre of music where Adams really cuts loose. You can tell they're demos because the production is quite thin, but man, some of those songs still sound incredible. And some big acts would actually take his songs and put them on their records, such as Ted Nugent, Loverboy, 38 Special, and Crocus. And actually, the song I'm going to play is the one that Crocus actually put on their 1984 album, The Blitz. You should check that out. I should mention the song as well. The song I'm playing is The Boy's Night Out. It can only be found on this 30th anniversary version. However, Brian Adams' version completely blows theirs away, as you can imagine. So if you have the means, pony up the cash and grab this 30th anniversary version of Reckless. It's totally worth it for the extra tracks. Let's get to it. I actually never did my research on the lyrics for this, so I don't have anything on it. Let's just play the song because I think it speaks for itself.
Light.
The Boys' Night Out from the recording sessions of Reckless. Hope you enjoyed that one. A lot of people probably haven't heard that. Love that song, though. All right, we are going to move on to Bryan Adams' next album, which came out on March 30th of 1987. The album was titled Into the Fire, the follow-up to Reckless, which went platinum in the United States and triple platinum in Canada. Of course, it was a commercial disappointment if you compare it to Reckless, but it was an impossible task for Bryan Adams to follow up to such a huge album. And this is something he would repeat again, as you'll soon hear. This would be his final collaboration with Bob Clearmountain. And again, six singles were released off of this, just like Reckless, but none of them really had any of the same success. Only one top 20 single from this record in the United States. Three of the singles failed to even register in the charts. And one of them is the song I'm going to be playing, Into the Fire, the title track. It's not a bad album, but even Bryan Adams has admitted that he felt he had a lack of ideas after the huge success of back-to-back albums from Cuts Like a Knife and Reckless. It's a more subdued effort with leanings into more ballady and introspective songs. In retrospect, Bryan did all he probably could have done for this. To put out another clone of Reckless would only have been diminishing returns, I think. At least he intentionally tried some new things with Into the Fire. It's not all to my taste, but it was a solid effort, I feel. The song Into the Fire is a beautiful arena anthem with some of the most honest lyrics of any of his songs. His words in this really resonate with me, and because of that, this song has always stayed with me over my entire life. And let's get to the chorus. Oh, shelter the flame, it may expire, rising up from the ashes into the fire. Just hold on to your life down to the wire. Oh, out from the dragon's jaws into the fire. All right, welcome back. That was Into the Fire, the title track from Into the Fire. All right, let's move on. And we are going to get to his next gigantic album, which came out on September 24th of 1991. And who would have thunk it that after the gigantic success of Reckless, and then what was a pretty much a big commercial bomb disappointment with the album Into the Fire, he would make this amazing comeback with Waking Up the Neighbors. He, at this time, he switched producers, and this was co-produced by Adams and Mutt Lange. This album went 4 times platinum in the United States and diamond in Canada. Came out on September 24th, 1991. Now, I have a lot to say about this album. when I listen to Waking Up the Neighbors, and honestly, I don't that much anymore. I can't help but hear all that Mutt Lange production. It's not a bad album, but damn, it's so obvious that Mutt is taking everything he did with those Def Leppard albums and applying it to Bryan Adams. I mean, you could literally swap out Bryan Adams and his band for Joe Elliott and Steve Clark on guitar and have the same record, especially with the direction that Def Leppard was heading around this time. There really isn't much I can say about this album, I guess, that you don't already know. It was massive, anchored by Everything I Do It For You, and a string of other hits, which honestly, over the years, I don't think have aged quite as well as his earlier material. I'm telling you, it's that Mutt Lange production. I'm sure Bryan Adams is laughing all the way to the bank, though. This album also is mercilessly long as well, 15 tracks clocking in at 75 minutes. Despite all that, the world just ate it up. And you know, I guess I did at the time as well. So I have no shame. I was right there. I bought this album. It's one of the first CDs I bought, actually, I remember, back in 1991. So when you think of this album, you probably do think of the big singles. But as always, I'm going to curate a really solid, underrated track that doesn't get the attention it deserves. The song Not Guilty. I like this because it comes off as a straight-ahead rock song that sounds like perhaps Mutt didn't have his fingers all over it. And I don't dislike Mutt Lange. I just feel that unbridled Mutt Lange without an oversight committee can sometimes be a lot to swallow. And with Mutt Lange as producer, he had a significant role in the songwriting with co-writing credits on every song. This was the first time that Jim Vallance took a back seat as the primary co-songwriter with only 4 writing credits. So, like I said, the song I'm picking is Not Guilty. So the part of the lyrics that I'm actually going to grab from is, I guess it's the post-chorus part of the song. And I really do like this part. Here it is. She'll break your heart. She'll take your mind. She'll steal your soul. She's everything. She's a schoolboy's dream. She's rock and roll. She's a knockout combination. It's a sticky situation. Yeah. Love that song. Definitely a highlight for me right now from the Waking Up the Neighbors album. Because really, I am burnt out on a lot of the singles that came off of this. So that it's refreshing to hear that song. All right, we're going to move on to the last song of today's podcast. And it comes off of the album, which came out on June 4th, 1996. This album was titled 18 Till I Die. And I think people forget actually how big this album was. And no, it didn't have gigantic hits on it, and it did suffer in a lot of ways the same fate as Into the Fire did, coming off the massive success of its previous album. But I think the songs on here are relatively strong compared to Into the Fire, and I'm definitely not burned out on this record like I am Waking Up the Neighbors. It is once again produced by Adams and Mutt Lange, but it's definitely more of a mainstream alt-rock sounding album compared to Neighbors, which maybe hurt it to some degree. Well, the problem with this album, though, I think, though, was the perception of Adams himself. Since the success of Waking Up the Neighbors and the ubiquitous nature of the song Everything I Do, which was inescapable in the early 90s, something happened to him. At this time, he started churning out movie soundtrack ballads left and right. They were very successful, but he also pigeonholed himself. For a whole decade, he was the 80s poster boy for rock and roll attitude and his roguish looks. But by 1996, he had already sealed his fate with hits from Don Juan DeMarco. That song was Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? And the other one from the Three Musketeers movie he did with Rod Stewart and Sting, which I can't stand. I'm not even going to mention the title of it because I don't like that song. His audience had changed. And when 18 Till I Die was released, he was desperately trying to adjust his image again, and it backfired. You know, I do like this album, but like I said, it's inconsistent. Half of it is solid with good rockers. But the other half is songs that are kind of weak ballady entries. It also is weird because his vocals are very different on this album. It's got very scratchy and gravelly, and it seems like he was purposely either altering his vocals or this was just something in the production that Mutt Lange encouraged him to do. I'm not really sure. Still, there is more good than bad on this album, and I do love this very energetic song titled We're Gonna Win, which was written by Adams and Lang. So let's go with this. It's a really fun short song, and I do like this a lot. So this is from the second verse. We're gonna win. Forget about a draw. We're gonna score, and then we're gonna get a few more. Maybe another one just to be sure. We'll make you look just like an amateur until the final whistle. It's war, and then we're gonna pick you off the floor. We want to hear the crowd really roar. Yeah, we're coming in. We're gonna win, win.
We're gonna win. Don't wanna be a loser, gonna win. Cause winning really is the only thing. Get out of the way, we're coming in. If you wanna fight, you step inside the ring. Does anybody wanna take a swing? It's gotta be all or nothing. Oh, we're gonna be the champions. Hey, we're going all the way, we're gonna win, win. We're gonna win. Forget about a draw, we're gonna score. And then we're gonna get a few more. Maybe another one just to be sure. We'll make you look just like an amateur. We'll be right back.
That was "We're Gonna Win." I wonder if that was intended to be like some sports arena anthem, like "We Will Rock You." I don't know. It never really panned out that way. I don't know. Well, there you have it. My top 10 underrated and underappreciated songs from Bryan Adams up through his 1996 album, which of course always gives me the opportunity to return to the world of Bryan Adams to cover the next phase of his career, which is a very interesting period, actually. I didn't mention this at the top of the show, but I did get to see Bryan Adams in 2016 at the Orpheum Theater in Boston. And I have to say, the guy knows how to put on a show. 2 hours of great rock and roll with just enough fun banter with the crowd to let you know he's up there on stage enjoying every minute of it. I hope you have enjoyed this week's show. You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me this week. Also, please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. I love getting feedback and messages letting me know that you're just out there listening. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer over the past hour. I realize that there are literally thousands of podcasts out there that you could be listening to, and I sincerely thank you for spending your time with me on this show today. It means the world to me. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Thank you again, everyone, and have a great week. Oh,